This passage from Genesis has always bothered me. I know that it is metaphorical, but for those first hearers of the story, what must they have thought? I wonder if it compelled them to listen and obey the voice of God. I wonder if it validated for them that the fear of the Lord is a good stance to adopt. I wonder why Abraham had the other men stay behind with the donkey. Surely they could have tied him to a bush. Was Abraham feeling some sort of shame? I wonder if Abraham felt guilty or questioned what he was about to do. And I wonder if he had any reservation at all about what God was asking him to do. Was it common at that time to commit filicide, so that this request was not unusual? Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. I wonder what kind of God would make the one of the sacrificed, the one to be sacrificed, carry his own method of death. And yet, we do witness this later, with Jesus carrying his own cross. And then Isaac asked, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Did Isaac wonder where this invisible lamb was and how God would provide it? As the sacrifice of Isaac was prepared, I wonder what would have happened if Abraham wasn't receptive to hearing the angel's voice. What if his ears were closed? What if he thought the angel was interrupting or his own conscience or contradicting the directive from God? What if he didn't believe the voice? It was unusual for God to change God's mind. The faithful Abraham followed the Lord's command, and God intervened in Isaac's sacrifice. The Lord provided a ram to substitute for the human sacrifice. The Lord will provide. It is a common enough statement, and one that some use to justify their inactions. And yet Jesus makes it very clear, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple will be rewarded. Hospitality and care will be provided. However, Jesus is clearly placing this responsibility on his disciples and upon us for hospitality and for justice. Until I moved into my condo in North Vancouver, I felt that I had the gift of hospitality. I loved inviting people over for dinner. My first New Year's Eve in Langley, as a curate, I entertained 10 young adults in my home. I had a small patio out back in a little yard, so when the weather was nice, it was lovely to dine al fresco. Theological school, my room was always a meeting and gathering place for meals and movies. Imagine. While living in my home in Florida, I frequently hosted family holiday dinners, wedding and baby showers, work Christmas parties, and my small home group from church. And I really loved it. Only a few of you have been to my place. It's very nice, but its space is not conducive to entertaining. So what has happened to my spirit of hospitality? It's made me think of Martha and Mary. I was very much a Martha putting on a good spread, but more concerned with all of the details than paying attention to perhaps someone's greater need. And now I feel more like Mary, longing to be alone with my Lord. Perhaps now I have a stronger need to be alone. Perhaps I focused on simplifying my life. Sometimes it feels like an invasion of privacy when my cell phone rings and when I look at the endless emails. I don't think this is how God wants me to react. So what is the Holy Spirit saying to me? I feel ashamed that sometimes I resent these interruptions, and yet each interruption is an opportunity for me to be hospitable to the person on the other end of the phone or the other end of the email. My deepening sense of complacency is challenged as if God is saying, Janice, use your gifts. This teaching about hospitality rings loudly throughout our history as a people of God. The rabbis wrote that hospitality is a form of worship. From Hebrews we have, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that some have entertained angels without knowing. I sometimes wonder if I might have been entertaining angels, but I was too busy to notice. But I also seem to be increasingly aware and deeply conscious of the time I do spend with others. I wonder if my gift of hospitality has transitioned to a gift of deep caring and deep listening. I think that that happens to us throughout our lives, that God gives us new gifts when they are needed. Joan Chittister writes about Benedictine hospitality. Guests are to be received at their monasteries and received as Christ. Benedictine spirituality takes this very seriously. The message to the stranger is clear. Come right in and disturb our perfect lives. You are the Christ for us today. Benedict wants us to let down the barriers of our hearts and souls so that the God of the unexpected can come in. Oh, how I pray for those barriers in me to fall. I wonder if the sense of hospitality also has to do with recognizing the holy in one another. Jesus says, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Sometimes in emails I see the salutation, Namaste. I'm familiar with the term, but I wanted to know what it really meant. I honor the place in you where the entire universe resides. I honor the place in you of light, of love, of truth, and of peace. I honor the place within you where if you are in that place in you, and I am in that place in me, there's only one of us. Namaste could easily be viewed through a Christian lens. It almost sounds as if it were from the Gospel of John. After hospitality, Jesus speaks of social justice in the words of whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. I confess there are times when I do not welcome the stranger, when I do not give even the simplest of human needs water. My hope is that when we do offer our gifts of a cup of water, they are given for the giving itself and not in hopes of some reward. We might not offer water to a stranger on the street, but this community has a heart for contributing funds for fresh water wells in India. I long for a voice that can crack religious and political convictions open, one that advocates for the least qualified, the least official, the least likely. So once again, I hear the prophetic voice of Leonard Cohen. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. I wonder if I can forget my need to be perfectly hospitable, to allow a crack in that self-consuming guilt and let the light of Christ shine within me. Christianity proclaims against reason that the hungry will be fed, that those cast down will be raised up, and that all things, including my own omissions, are being made new. It offers food without exception to the worthy and unworthy, the misfits and the pious, and then commands everyone to do the same. It doesn't promise to solve or erase suffering, but to transform it, pledging that by loving one another, even through pain, we will find life. And it insists that by opening ourselves to strangers, the despised or frightening or unintelligible other, we will see more and more of the holy. Since without exception, all people are one body, God's. I often refer to poems or blessings from Jan Richardson, who happens to be a Methodist minister in Orlando, Florida. In one of these visits, I will meet her. I was jolted by the timing of her email this week titled, Welcome Blessing. She writes, may we know and create places of welcome that help us become something other than strangers to one another and to ourselves. May we learn how to make one another at home in this world. And this is her blessing. When you are lost in your own life, when the landscape you have known falls away, when your familiar path becomes foreign, and you find yourself a stranger in the story you had hold most dear, then let yourself be lost. Let yourself leave for a place whose contours you do not already know, whose cadences you have not learned by heart. Let yourself land on the threshold that mirrors the mystery of your own bewildered soul. It will come as a surprise what arrives to welcome you through the door, making a place for you at the table and calling you by your name. Let what comes, come. Let the glass be filled. Let the light be tended. Let the hands lay before you what will meet you in your hunger. Let the laughter, let the sweetness that enters the sorrow, let the solace that comes as sustenance and sudden unbidden grace. For what comes, offer gladness. For what greets you with kindly welcome, offer thanks. Offer blessing for those who gathered you in and will not be forgotten. Those who, when you were a stranger, made a place for you at the table and called you by your name. There have been dark and low times in my life when I was so graciously welcomed. And God's healing worked through the hospitality of others, and I was made home in the world once again. May we be and may we receive this holy hospitality. Amen.
Amen.